talk about the Greens, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
Yeah. It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Green.
There's growing concern among business owners tonight. Well, there's growing concern.
Now concern is growing.
Our generations are standing on a precipice, staring into a void whose depth science does not know yet.
Hey, and welcome to Growing Concern. My name's Sean Marsh, and this is a podcast for the unapologetically purpose-driven. It's for those of you out there making a difference, shaking things up, and not taking no for an answer. It's also for anyone curious enough to see things from a different perspective. These episodes are designed for you and I to learn as we go. We'll be discussing some big challenges with inspiring people and figuring out what we can do to solve them. Every so often, I'll drop an episode that's just me, sanding back the greenwash on dirty industries and sharing my thoughts on branding and strategy for ethical organisations. This is episode one. So it's late 2018, I'm in Sydney and it's hot. Like, run between shadowy doorways from the sun kind of hot. It's early, it's busy, and I'm travelling into Darlinghurst from Bondi, where I was living at the time. I'm about to meet and interview Anote Tong, the former president of Kiribati, usually pronounced incorrectly as Kiribati.
The Republic of Kiribati.
That was Anote with the correct pronunciation. I'm nervous as hell, but also incredibly excited. It's not often you get to meet a political figure, and even rarer still, one who's dedicating their entire lives to fighting climate change. For context, this interview was the brainchild of Jared Troutbeck, founder of Climates, a non-profit organisation that empowers Pacific Island nations to work together towards a sustainable future in the face of climate change. They do excellent work. Jared's recently stepped away from Climates to, in his own words, decolonize the organization. I'm currently writing a future episode to expand on what decolonization is all about and why it's important. Jared organized the place, the time, the audio-visual equipment, the post-editing, everything for this interview, and this simply wouldn't have happened without him and the Climates team. We were meeting at a place called The Vault. Picture a large James Bond-style Fort Knox doorway and you'd be pretty close. Jared, always the detailed and conscientious fella, had decked out the room in native plants and flowers from both Australia and the Pacific Islands. If you want to see it, I've put a link to the video in the description. So anyway, here I am, shaking like a leaf, and Anote walks in. The man exudes a calming gravitas. It's immediately obvious to me how he once led a nation, and I guess in some ways he still does. Anote has been on a TED talk expressing concern that his island nation will be gone if we don't act. There's a documentary on his fight against climate change called Anote's Ark. He's the recipient of a Peace Prize, and he's even given speeches at numerous climate summits demanding actions, not promises. I have a lot of questions. Here's what went down.
Anote, thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you, and thank you for giving me this opportunity.
I think for those who aren't aware of you and what you're all about and currently the travels that you're on at the moment, could you give us a backstory of you and your history?
Okay, well, I was in office as president of the Republic of Kiribati from 2003 to 2016. And during the period of my presidency, one of the issues really that was I gave priority to was the fight against what was happening on climate change. Why that was necessary is because of our extreme vulnerability of the countries like mine, like Kiribati, Tuvalu, the Marshall Islands, the very low-lying atoll nations, which are, given the projections of what's happening on climate change, are really facing an existential threat from climate change. And now, since retiring in 2016, I continue my advocacy on climate change and traveling different parts of the world, constantly trying to communicate that message that this is important, it's no longer speculation, and that for people in countries like mine, it is a matter of whether we will have a future. Our future generations, where will they go when all of this comes down?
While we're talking about politics and your role as the president of Kiribati, why no longer politics?
I think one of the things that I've really learned from my own experience while in office and also since has been the politicization of an issue like climate change, which is global in nature. Whereas in politics, it's about national-level politics. And I've always believed that this has been the greatest obstacle to addressing the challenge of climate change, because every time we go to the United Nations conference on climate change, we come as people representing the interests of our countries. And we negotiate against each other. But nature is not going to negotiate at the end of all of this. And so my greatest disappointment has been the politicization of climate change. I've had experience here in Australia, New Zealand, the United States, where there's been a time when climate change was top of the agenda. And with the change in government, it's the whole policies reversed. We can play politics with climate change. Climate change will continue to march relentlessly forward, regardless of what party policies we put forward. And so, but the only thing that would affect is whether or not we survive this catastrophe.
Do you think that because it's out of sight, out of mind, people find it hard to connect with it? Is that what it is?
I think that's really much of the story. I think we don't, I believe that not all of us relate to what's happening until it hits us hard and painful. And so, but I think what is important is we've got, most people are self-centered to a very large extent. And if something happens next to them, then they just see it but not relate to it. Okay, what is happening in our part of the world, here in Australia, they don't think it has any relevance. But if the bushfires start coming and people lose their homes and their lives, I can assure you it's relevant to those people. If the farmers continue to have these droughts, I assure you climate change is relevant. And so it's that creeping effect. Until one day when you thought you're not on the front line, but you're how many rows back, then you become on the front line. Then you realize that it is relevant, but by then it may be too late.
Yeah, I feel like that would give you perspective, but I agree. At that point, it's too late to make the decision.
Absolutely.
To tackle it. And we talked about this before, we're sort of talking about how the majority of Australians believe that climate change is a thing. A large majority, and the similar majority want to do something about it. Why do you think it's just not getting enough traction? Why do you think people get swept up in the minutiae of day-to-day life rather than the bigger picture?
Well, I think it goes back to what I said earlier, because it's being politicized, whatever the reason is. But I think I heard the American economist, Jeffrey Sachs, talk about this just a couple of nights ago, I think, and he was very blunt. I think he's saying it's nonsense. You know, people are not doing the right thing. And I think he's even accusing politicians, I don't know whether in Australia or in the United States or maybe both, of being corrupt and taking maybe taking bribes from the energy companies. That's a very straight talk, which he said, and I don't have sufficient information to make that kind of a comment, but he's saying that maybe explains why what makes sense is not making sense. Okay, and because we have political leaders, And I've come to the conclusion that sometimes political leaders are not the best representatives of the people's views. I believe that our democratic process of government has become undermined by the way we do it these days. We've learned to undermine it. Right. So when it was first put into place, it was wonderful because it gave power to the people. I don't think it's doing that anymore. It's giving, now it's giving power to the ones that already have power, especially resources to swing decisions their way. And if that is the case, that is disappointing. And if that is the case, it's bad for the people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think what we'll do is we'll leave it on one more question, because I think that the most important thing added today is giving people tangible solutions and ideas that they can then use in their community. Because I think that's part of the issue, where there's global climate change is a massive deal, and we've seen personal and psychological disconnection with the severity of it. So there's a recent coal mine that was politically approved in New South Wales, which I was stumped by. I thought that was a done deal. We're not doing that anymore. Apparently we are. The message we're getting is that it's a done deal, and the citizens of Australia and obviously the rest of the world, they sort of just buy into that. What would you say to them?
Well, I think my views on that are very clear, because I made a call for a global moratorium on the opening of new coal mines, recognizing then that on the basis of advice, scientific advice, that coal is the worst polluter. You know, not only does it have dirty carbon dioxide, but it's it also contributes to the acidification
of the oceans,
which damages the reefs. And I have no doubt that what's happening will damage the reefs, especially the Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah, which is an interesting thing, because it's so close to home. It's something we can't see.
Well, you're part of it. If you're allowing that to happen, then you are making that happen. Mm-hmm. You are killing your Great Barrier Reef. But coal, and I think my views on coal have been really endorsed by the latest report of the IPCC. And so the question is, why do we continue to go ahead and do these things? We're being misled in the direction which really takes us to our own destruction. Why do we do this? I think the economist Jeffrey Sachs has a reason for doing that, because I don't believe that reflects the will of the people. And the question really is, why do we continue to do what may not reflect the views of the people? And I think this is important, because if the leadership is not representing the views of the people, I think it's about time you people do something about it. I'm often asked, you know, what do you think, I said, about what the government is doing? I said, come on, don't be so naive. Mm-hmm. You put the government there. Mm-hmm. And so take responsibility for it, whatever it does. You are responsible.
Yeah, that's true. So I would say, from a local perspective, the coal mines, the infrastructure involved in fossil fuels and stuff is backed by money.
Yes.
So the most powerful thing that Australians and global citizens can do is to know that your money is being used for those things, find out if it's being used for those things, and move it out. Mm-hmm. Because that is probably the simplest, most effective impact you can have. So I hope that perhaps that gives people like an understanding of, you know, one small step you can take for a big impact.
Well, I think it's exactly the same kind of argument that took a long time for the world to acknowledge, and that was the tobacco industry. Right. Okay, we know tobacco was killing people. Mm-hmm. Yet even today, we continue not to legislate against it. And likewise, coal is very damaging to people's health. Mm-hmm. To the planet, yet for some reason we'll continue to allow it to go on. I mean, and this is the argument that I sometimes bring forward, that we don't have a problem. If you here in Australia can keep your emissions within your borders, come on, burn as much coal as you like. But unfortunately, you don't do that.
It's impossible.
And so we have the right to question what you're doing with our part of the world.
You're right next door. Mm-hmm. Well, I admire the drive that you've got, and I know that you've been doing this for quite some time, and I hope you continue to do it for even longer, if you can sustain it.
I think it's important to carry on this, and I think it's important for everybody to understand that we all have a role in this.
Yeah.
And I was in Germany sometime last year. They said, "What, Quinn, what is it we can do?" Well, everything. Don't ever for one moment think that what you do here does not have an impact for us in our part of the world, because it certainly does. And so it is important that here in Australia, even if we are getting flooded and you hear about it and you don't feel anything, understand that you have contributed to that. And that is the moral question, the moral issue that I've always been bringing forward. Climate change is the greatest moral challenge for humanity.
And take action.
Right. Take action and don't ever believe that you're not part of it.
Fantastic. Thank you enough to Tom for coming in today. We really, really, really appreciate it.
Very welcome. And I wish you, and I ask all of you, to do your part.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
Yeah. It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.